The Works of John Owen, Volume 7, Part 1, The Banner of Truth Trust, 1965. Editor's Note. Most of our readers will already be at least somewhat acquainted with John Owen, 1616 to 1683, the Prince of Puritans. But it is not likely that many have read him extensively. His works are not only voluminous, they are tightly packed and deeply considered. Owen is neither quick nor light reading. Today we continue our year-long series of summaries of Owen's famous works. We trust these will be of help in introducing and/or increasing your acquaintance with this giant Puritan theologian. Summary. Part 1. Nature and Causes of Apostasy from the Gospel. Chapter 1. The foundation for this discourse is Hebrews 6, 4-6. In the early church, there were debates about whether to admit people back into the communion of the church after they had committed great sins, including denying Christ in the face of persecution. And this text was illegitimately used to keep them out. It does not teach that a genuine believer can lose their salvation, and neither should a repentant Christian with a sensitive conscience read these words and fear that they are lost forever. The people in view in this text are those who submitted to baptism, but who never had saving faith. It was the Spirit who enlightened them about the doctrine of the gospel, but they did not improve upon it, and the privilege was lost. The illumination referenced here comes with some power to make alterations in the soul, but it is short of saving grace. Spirit's work is the heavenly gift, and they tasted of him by experiment and trial, but then rejected him after some experience. To partake in the Holy Ghost is to participate and have a share in the spiritual gifts he gives. They were attracted to the good word of God and the gospel, and once again they tasted it, but they did not digest it or keep it. They agreed intellectually with its truth, and they have some excitement of immortality and pardon. The word even produces some effects in them, but it does not have roots. They taste but do not eat. They had also tasted of the powers and gifts given by the Spirit in the last days, the age of the church. Nowhere are they said to have faith or be saved, and none of the language that is used to clearly designate believers is used of them. Scripture is clear in both precept and example that people can sin greatly and still be restored through repentance. The sin in view in this text, then, is a total renunciation of the gospel, rejecting Christ and returning to Judaism. Those who have professed faith in Christ, received baptism as a pledge, and have then totally and completely renounced him, will not be brought back. Due to the hardness of their hearts, God will not grant them the grace they would need to truly repent. Everyone who repents will be saved, but they will never repent. God hardens their hearts, gives them over to lust, and hands them to Satan. We need to preach the warnings that if you fall away, you will not repent. We also need to preach that any who truly desire to come back can repent and be saved. When someone falls away, they morally crucify Christ again, since they have known of him, but rejected him, and in doing so have approved of his death and his shame. Chapter 2. Apostasy can either be total or partial. We've been examining the total kind, where people willfully and maliciously reject Christ completely, concurring with his crucifixion and aligning themselves with Judaism or false religion. Many churches are content with form and order, and as long as they have secular advantages and comforts, they do not care about spiritual realities. Many churches in our day are in decline and decay, sliding from the truth. Christendom is marked by wars and strife. Things surprising given that we claim to serve the Prince of Peace. In Rome, manifold corruptions in doctrine and flagrant immoralities in behavior are tolerated, while they claim to be the only true church, and holy because of their head, the Pope. They have invented forms of worship and pruned off the fruit of the Spirit. With no spiritual authority, they fight for worldly power and attempt to use righteousness as a cover for their abominations. Despite their claims, they are not infallibly led into truth. And this is demonstrable, since the foundation of all truth is the gospel, and they have forsaken it. Chapter 3. Many Christians and churches are guilty of a partial apostasy. We need to preserve and maintain all of the elements of the gospel, which are the mystery of its doctrine as the object of faith, the holiness of its precepts for our obedience, and the purity of its institutions for worship, which show whether we conform in faith and obedience to God's instructions. When the doctrines of the gospel are rejected, there is no foundation on which anything good can be erected. At the end of his life, Paul was confident that he had fought the good fight because he had kept the faith. Even those churches that were established by the apostles quickly compromised and had to be led back. Even in the first century, churches denied core doctrines, engaged in immorality, and were snared by vain philosophies. Likewise, the church of the first few centuries was worthy of great respect, but there are numerous instances of decline to be found there as well. Speaking by the Spirit, the apostles had predicted that after they had died, many false teachers would come against the church and deceive many. We know that many of the teachers of the early church moved past the simple truths of the gospel and had mixed it with many philosophical speculations. Wolves and heretics also arose to trouble the flock, creating sects and making schisms. Heresies centered on the person and grace of Christ. For example, Arianism and Pelagianism. And people no longer put up with sound doctrine. As a result, the mystery of iniquity flourished. God did raise up teachers to bring reform, however, and there was truth taught and fruit produced. The allure of profit and favor turns many to Rome, or even some to skepticism. Currently, the disease of Socinianism is a scourge that is hard to eradicate. History, both ancient and contemporary, is enough to show us multiple examples of the ways and causes of apostasy and heresy. Chapter 4. I shall lay down that principle which, I presume, all men will give their assent unto, namely, that a defection from the truth of the gospel once professed is a sin of the highest guilt, and that which will issue in the most pernicious events. God often told the prophets that if the people would be holy and obey, then they would be blessed. But if they persisted in rebellion, they would experience temporal or even eternal loss. It is even a greater and more aggravating crime to turn from the gospel, since it is a higher and purer revelation of God and His grace. Some blame the gospel itself for the ills of society, but it is evident that it is hypocrisy and apostasy from the gospel that generate such miseries, and not the gospel proper. It is essential that we examine the causes of apostasy. The mainspring for apostasy is when someone professes faith in the gospel, but has not been cured from the rooted enmity against spiritual things that is part of our sin nature. As Paul says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Romans 8:7. Many in the apostolic days heard the gospel, gave some intellectual consent, and were impressed by miracles, so they confessed the truth, but did not have a change in their hearts. Merely hearing the terms of the gospel and giving intellectual assent does not suffice to destroy the depravity of the mind. The gospel, when received with power, gives rest and satisfaction in itself, renovates all of our faculties, and engages our entire soul. It is this work of total renewal which our enmity resists. When God's truth calls people to leave their sin and be totally transformed, they can fight against this convicting spiritual revelation and stifle the truth, changing it as they want. When people are exposed to error masquerading as truth, it is harder to remove it when it takes root, since it comports with the carnal mind. Absolutely nothing can defeat this enmity except the love of the truth accompanied by the power of God. It is only by the power of Christ that someone can preserve and keep the faith through every trial and not be seduced into falling away. It is through the preaching of the word alone that God has ordained to reach people with the truth, both for conversion and preservation. It was in light of the prevalence of false teaching and destructive heresies that Paul commanded Timothy to preach the word. When we do, the devil and evil men will rage. Wherever a nation has succumbed to apostasy, the gospel has been articulated, but its power has not been urged as needed for the heart. As long as people love their sin and indulge it, They will deplore the truth in their minds and seek to change it or jettison it, since it makes them uncomfortable and uneasy. Why would we ever think that those who love and live in their sin would ever love and preserve the pure truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why would they hold on to it in the face of trial? What such discover is that they actually dislike and hate the truth they professed. In Rome, it was the corruption of the heart and the engagement in sin that led to false doctrine and a myriad of invented rituals to palliate and soothe the conscience so that they could heap up the full measure of their lusts. Chapter 5. Enmity is the primary spring of apostasy, but the second is spiritual darkness and ignorance that resides in the minds of some who profess the gospel. Without illumination from God, people will not see or comprehend the beauty, glory, and wisdom of truth. We know that someone has not fully received or understood the truth if they are not transformed by it. When trials come, those who have been taught the truth but who do not discern its light and glory, and therefore have not experienced its power, will fall away. God will keep his elect in the truth, and none who ever abandoned the faith were ever born again or belonged to God properly. In Christianity, it is only in seeing the light and glory of Christ that people can be transformed. But in false religions, the motives are fear and pride and other depraved inclinations. The sensual delights that are advertised for Muhammad's paradise may motivate some people now to live in a certain way, aiming for their crass rewards. Only the good works of gospel sanctification are pleasing and honoring to God. Merely having an intellectual knowledge of truth so that we can talk about it will never suffice. We need to pray diligently that the Spirit will lead us into all truth, helping us understand it and also experience its power. The smallest bit of the Spirit's teaching is greater than the highest attainment of our own intellect. Let us pray to learn the truth in Jesus, so that we can see its sanctifying effects in our lives. Many seek knowledge for pride and reputation, but knowledge that sanctifies and leads to goodness is infinitely better than speculation and reasoning that advances oneself. It seems that the reason why the common people gave themselves up to Rome was because of ignorance. When people do not understand their religion, they are easily led astray. Those in such a vulnerable position can easily be deceived by those who claim authority and learning, and by reports of superstitious happenings. If there is no understanding in our worship, we will accept the false doctrine of false teachers and imitate their evil examples. Rome intentionally has fostered ignorance so that it can keep people captive. Chapter 6. Another reason people fall away from truth and move to apostasy is owing to the pride and vanity of our minds. Human minds assert autonomy and independence, but the gospel is a message of pure grace and must be received from the Lord. The mind, however, exalts its own imagination and reason, and it sets itself up as the judge of everything. In order to learn from God, we must be humble and meek, submitted to his teaching. Rather than using reason to find proper deductions from the simple propositions of Scripture, many have flown off into all manners of vain speculations and novelties, preferring philosophical ability and debating to the plain truth of revelation. Since Scripture is from God, there is nothing in it that is opposed to reason, even though there is much in it that goes beyond our reason's comprehension. There are, however, things that seem contradictory to our corrupted reason. Divine authority requires us to believe things that are above our reason. Apart from divine grace, flesh and blood will never agree with the propositions of the gospel. The world rejects the wisdom of God as foolishness. Socinianism provides a perfect example of this reality. Because it does not comport with their reason, they reject the Trinity, the Incarnation, and other doctrines of God's attributes and grace. This approach to reason and revelation leads to atheism. Reason can be employed against the truth, and there is never a time when we cannot submit our reason to the obedience of faith. People also fall into apostasy on the grounds of careless security and unfounded confidence. Despite warnings to be ready and to avoid backsliding, many are apathetic and unconcerned. Some are completely negligent about attending to the preaching of God's truth, or are wickedly indifferent to the gospel's claims. Many, like Peter, have vain confidence in themselves, that they will never fail or falter. The love of the world is a great cause of apostasy, since men prefer the satisfactions and pleasure of this world more than their souls and eternal life. The love of the world as a cause of apostasy is especially evident in times of persecution, and when superstition and error hold sway in society. We need also to remember that Satan is a great cause of apostasy. He was the first apostate, and he led the human race after him. He deceives and beguiles, stirs up persecution, and blinds our eyes. God does not look on all of this as an unconcerned and uninvolved spectator. When people go with Satan and reject his truth, God may harden their hearts and send them powerful delusions to believe, since they want to believe a lie. God may do this by removing their candlestick and taking away his light, sending them delusions in which he delivers them up to Satan and allows them to be led astray by false teachers, and by judicially hardening their hearts so they cannot see the truth. Chapter 7. There are general reasons for apostasy, as we have examined, and also particular ones that cause backsliding. One such specific reason is a failure to grasp the necessity of Christ as a mediator for life and salvation. Those who do not see how sick they are will not stay with the physician. One of Satan's greatest tactics has always been to get men to minimize sin and to doubt that it can truly bring negative consequences. We also fail to understand that even our greatest works are insufficient to bring us to God. If we do not see how we fall short, we will not see how great is our need of Christ. There is also a declension when we lack a spiritual view of the excellency of Christ, because without this, our faith will not be strong in the gospel. Any who try to build on any other foundation than Christ build on sand and will be ruined. Those who truly see him cannot forsake or reject the Messiah, the Lord of glory, or despise his benefits. Lack of experiencing the power and grace of the Spirit and Christ leads to apostasy. Many seem to have some success in the mortification of sin, but when they are older, they have fallen to all manner of sins. This is because they engaged in religious duty, but never had the power of the Spirit to help them. Such a life is wearying, and people find relief in throwing it off. In some cases, they try to find help in invented rituals, indulgences, and harsh treatments of the body. Another spring of apostasy has been ignorance of the righteousness of God. This may be either an ignorance of the inherent righteousness of the character of God, or of the righteousness made available in Christ in the gospel. Those who have a sense of the holiness and justice of God will not quickly think that they can be righteous before him. To know the perfect, radiant righteousness of God is to know that no religion based on human works can ever succeed. Nobody can possibly be righteous on the basis of the law. Yet, gloriously, the righteousness of God is made available to us through Christ. Failure to submit to the sovereignty of God is another cause of apostasy. The sin nature hates the sovereignty of God in grace, salvation, and providence. Apostasy also comes when people reject the divine nature and authority of Scripture, refusing to submit to it. To be continued. Copyright 2022, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced, in whole or in part, without express written permission.